For further advancement, you should also give up the means. That is, you should not become attached to the process of liberation itself. So, in the previous verse, Rishabhadev has mentioned the means, such as severe austerities and living in a solitary place and showing tolerance for the dualities of material existence. So he gave a long list of things there. Included there, of course, was the practice of worship of the Supreme Lord, hearing about the Lord, etc. So it was a mixture of things that the yogis and the gyanis practiced, plus devotional items as well. So in this verse, here he is emphasizing again that one should become free from the bondage of karma, and one should go for liberation and complete detachment from the material world. So because of this goal, in the previous verse, we have many items which belong to the category of jnana and yoga, whose goal is liberation. At the same time, there were items of bhakti there. Because, of course, all these other items for their success depend on bhakti. And as well because Rishabhadev himself is the Supreme Lord and will never omit the practice of bhakti. He's preaching renunciation of material activities, complete detachment from the material world, and destruction of material karma, etc. So that is what is mentioned here, undoing the knot in the heart, which is not a part of a false ego, and getting rid of the desire for karma, that is actions that create nice material results for ourselves. Therefore, one should follow the instructions of Rishabhadev to have this goal complete. So this, of course, is, as I said, this is, of course, an incomplete instruction in one sense, because the desire for liberation and attaining that is one thing, but at the same time, the highest goal is service to the Lord. So that is obviously evident here, because he says that one should give up the process as well. And as Prabhupada pointed out in the first part, one cannot give up the bhakti process. One can give up jnana and yoga, definitely, but one should never give up bhakti. So this verse is not about bhakti, it is about the other processes of jnana and yoga, which lead ultimately to liberation, and not beyond that. So in these processes, finally, the process has to be given up when one attains the goal. Just as if one is to become a doctor, there's a process for becoming a doctor. One will study and then go to the university and enter the medical courses and study and graduate and pass all the exams and graduate. After you become a doctor, you give up that process. You no longer sit there at the university and study. You give that up and you go on with your doctor process. You attain the goal, so you give up the process. So that is there. Once we get something, we give up the process of attaining it. And that of course carries over into these other processes like karma and jnana and yoga. And once the goal is attained, one gives up the process. So of course in karma, the goal is Svargaloka, and you get Svargaloka, then you stop your pious activities and you exhaust whatever you have, and then you fall down again. And in jnana and yoga, it desires liberation. Once you get liberation, you have to give up the process. If you continue the process, you stay in the material world, because these processes are sakkavan. So you have to give up the attraction to, or attachment to, those particular processes also. And then one enters into Brahman. So the yoga has to be given up, the process has to be given up to get actual liberation. However, bhakti is different. The attainment or the goal is non-different from the process itself. It's the same. So bhakti is the process and bhakti is the goal. So we practice service to the Lord and we attain service to the Lord. We do bhakti and we get prema. Prema is this bhakti with another by another name. So we don't change the process. The means and the goal or the end are the same. That is sadhana and sadhya are the same. In jnana and yoga and karma, the sadhana and the sadhya are different. And therefore, the sadhana is given up once you attain the goal. So that is so for material processes. Bhakti is not a material process. The sadhana itself is spiritual and therefore it continues in perfection. If it were a material process, yes, it should be given up because one cannot have anything material in the spiritual world. It's not a material activity, it's a spiritual activity. What is the difference between sadhana and prema, sadhana bhakti and prema bhakti? That the activities are the same. The only difference is the purity and intensity is a little different, that's all. But it's the same process. So the process does not change. The means and the end are the same activity in the process of devotional service, because the process itself is spiritual, not material. That is the outstanding feature of bhakti. So that is why in this verse Rishabhadev is addressing this other process, the process of jnana and yoga. Now in these processes, as is stated in the Prabhupada quotes from Bhagavad Gita chapter 18, Mad Bhaktim Labhate Param, one attains Brahma Bhuta, that is, one gets up to liberation state, and then one attains devotion to me. What does this mean? So one meaning is that in order to get to the liberated state, the jnani has to also practice a little bhakti. And when he gets his goal, then he gives up the jnana and the yoga. He does not give up the bhakti. So only that remains in a pure state. So therefore it says, Mad Bhaktim Labhate Param. He achieves my devotion to me. Because he doesn't have any other process left, only that process at the end. Of course, he's only done a little bhakti. It's not a major thing. But that bhakti he does not give up. And it is that a bhakti which allows him to get his liberation. The mercy of the Supreme Lord gives him that liberation that he so desires. So the Ganges and Yogis desire liberation, and the Lord mercifully gives that to them because that is what they desire. So that is because their bhakti that they get that liberation. So therefore, the process of bhakti is not given up. So here when it says give up the yoga process, that would refer to the jnana and the yoga processes only, and not to the bhakti yoga process. That cannot be given up, even by the jnanis and yogis. If they give it up, they cannot get liberation. And therefore, the Bhagavatam says that again the person falls into the material world because he disrespects my lotus feet. So this is the unique position of bhakti in comparison to these other processes. So in the previous verse, Rishabhadev had mentioned bhakti as well as the other processes. So even one striving for liberation also has to engage in devotional processes to some degree, even though his goal is liberation or Brahman. Still, he must also practice devotional things. On the other hand, we know that this process of renunciation and going for liberation is only a partial goal, and it's not even recommended as the proper process in Kali Yuga. So therefore, one can dispense with the other items, that is, the renunciation, detachment, toleration of dualities, living in a solitary place, etc. and simply concentrate upon the devotional elements. And what happens? Bondage of karma is destroyed anyway. But process is easier, and we don't have to change processes from one to the other. We continue the process of bhakti in the liberated state, that is in the spiritual world. So that is why the process of bhakti is superior to the other processes.
How that verse applies in case of bhakti yoga?
What verse?
That Bhagavad Gita verse.
Yeah, so the person, in order to get this liberation or Brahma-bhuta, he also has to perform some devotion. And then he must give up the jnana and the yoga. So what is left is man-bhaktim. Only that is left. He attains my bhakti at that point. In other words, nothing else is left because the others are given up. So only bhakti is the process at that point. Whereas previously he was doing jnana and yoga with a little bhakti mixed in there.
How it applies in the case of bhakti yogis who are doing bhakti?
Oh, in the case of devotees, and then they, their goal is not to attain Brahma-bhuta. It is attained as a side effect of their devotion, that's all, in bhava stage.
So that conception that one has to come to a transcendental platform or go beyond the three modes and then only one can do devotional service?
No.
But that's not the proper thing.
Otherwise we can't do sadhana bhakti. Where? Well, yeah, but then we have to look at the conclusion, not look at the parts. Even in here, Rishabhadev is teaching. You should go to the forest and wander around naked and not eat anything, or whatever. So that's not the ultimate teaching. He did that, of course, and he taught that, but that's not the ultimate teaching. And here he's talking about giving up the process and merging in Brahman. It's also not the process we follow, even though he's teaching it.
So,
can, but he's giving the whole process, because that's what's mentioned in the Vedic literatures. But then he's saying, well, what is the ultimate process as well? So one has to be intelligent enough to get the meaning of what the Lord says. In other words, he doesn't have to write Bhagavad Gita, he can simply surrender unto me. But then nobody's going to follow that, so they won't notice him. So he has to recite the whole Bhagavad Gita, and so the people will look at it, notice it.
Though he said that the Bhakti Yoga is much more easier than compared to other processes, see, the Bhakti Yoga has much more and many more pitfalls in the process and the dangers of getting entangled in so many states rather than any other processes.
No. In Karma Yoga, you pronounce the mantra wrong, you're finished. You don't follow all the rules of cleanliness, then the process doesn't work. The same in jnana. If you deviate from sattva guna, you're not qualified anymore. So many strict rules are there, and you break any of the rules, then you don't get any effect. They're not easier processes, they're more difficult processes. Bhakti allows one to practice anywhere, anytime, whatever. And even if one makes mistakes, then one can still progress. If one commits aparadha, particularly Vaishnava aparadha, of course, then one can have serious consequences. But otherwise, in spite of the mistakes, as the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Abhi says to Rachara, even if you've committed the most abominable sin, still, you're my devotee. He doesn't say that to the jnani. Once you commit sin and jnana, you're finished. You don't have any position.
What's some take advantage of this?
Well, then it becomes the offense of the holy name also. Committing sin and the strength of the holy name.
How the only difference between Sadhana Bhakti and Pure Bhakti is the intensity and purity.
Yes.
That would come through the chanting the Nama without any apraks.
Well, any process of bhakti. For us, the main process is chanting, but of course we have deity worship, hiri, association, so many other processes also. So those can accompany the chanting of the name. In other words, to chant the name properly, then would also step proper knowledge. Generally we will accept that most people are just doing sadhana bhakti. They're not in bhava or prema. If they were, then they would show obvious symptoms of that, such as ecstatic symptoms, etc., complete detachment from material things, complete attachment to the Lord, etc., at all times. So, bhava is a very rare thing. So, therefore, we won't expect most people to be at that level anyway. They're only going to be in the sadhana level. And if they think they're at a bhava stage, but they show the opposite signs, then they're just obviously an illusion. So the process of sadhana, if done properly, raises one through that from shraddha through asakti to bhava. And then sadhana is finished. So the idea is that sadhana progresses up to bhava stage if it is done properly. Sadhana means the process. So sadhana is the process of getting to bhava. So if it's done correctly, it does that. If it's done incorrectly, then it doesn't go there.
நாளைக்கு நான் வாங்கணும்.